Two men who weren't really paying attention were walking across a field one day when they saw an enraged bull. And so, of course, they took off, started running as fast as they could toward the nearest fence, which was quite a ways away, and the storming bull was just following in hot pursuit, and it quickly became apparent that they weren't going to make it. And so, terrified, one of them called out to the other one, "George, put up a prayer, we're in for it." And George said, I can't. I've never said a public prayer in my life." And he said, "You must. The bull is catching up to us." And so George panted, and he said, "All right, I'll say the only prayer that I know. It's the one that my father used to repeat at the dinner table. Oh Lord, for what we are about to receive, let us be truly thankful." All right, if you would be turning to Luke chapter 17. I want to start by reading about Jesus and the 10 lepers. Now, if you have a pew Bible, it's on page 61 in the New Testament. Luke chapter 17, and we'll read verses 11 through 18 together. While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Well, 3 days ago, we celebrated our national holiday of Thanksgiving. Now, since I was sick last Sunday, this is going to be an after-the-fact, a retrospective sermon, I guess. Well, if you look up Thanksgiving Day in the dictionaries, it will often say something like a day appointed for giving thanks for divine goodness. And in some dictionaries, they'll have a picture, you know, they might have a picture of a pilgrim. And if you look up the word turkey, well, they might have a picture of John Wright. Thanksgiving Day, it's a day appointed for giving thanks for divine goodness. Well, as you know, Thanksgiving, it's generally regarded to have first been celebrated by the Pilgrims and the Native Americans in colonial New England in the early 17th century to celebrate the Pilgrims' first harvest in America. So let's just start with some history. And yeah, there are always those who disagree. You're going to have the politically correct version on one side and the overly romanticized version on the other. But this is basically what happened. The Pilgrims, they disembarked the Mayflower at Plymouth, Massachusetts in 1620. And there were 102 passengers. And many of them were religious separatists seeking a new home where they could freely practice their faith. And they tried Holland first, but it didn't work out, and among other things, they didn't like the influence on their children. Well, that first winter in America, it was devastating, with hunger and with sickness, and almost half of them died. But a Native American named Squanto, he taught the Pilgrims how to cultivate corn, how to extract sap from maple trees, catch fish, avoid poisonous plants, and so forth. And he also served as an interpreter, and he helped the settlers forge an alliance with the local Wampanoag tribe. And the guy, he learned English while enslaved in Europe and also in his travels in England, and it's really a pretty cool story, actually. There have been quite a few books and movies that have been made on it with varying degrees of accuracy. Well, the crops, they flourished. And the harvest of 1621, it was so bountiful that they decided to celebrate it with this great feast, inviting the Native Americans who had helped them survive their first year. And many of the historians today believe that they wouldn't have made it, that they wouldn't have survived that year if it hadn't been for the help of the natives. Well, that first Thanksgiving, as we often call it, it lasted 3 days, providing enough food for 53 pilgrims and 90 Native Americans. Now, out of the 53 pilgrims who had survived, only 4 of them were married women. The rest of them were men and children. Now, can you imagine preparing that much food, you know, for that many people for 3 days? Well, no record exists of the banquet's exact meal, but Edward Winslow, now he would later become the 3rd governor of Plymouth. He wrote in his journal that Governor Bradford had sent 4 men on a fowling mission in preparation for the event, and also that the Wampanoag guests, that they had brought 5 deer. And I'm pretty sure it didn't look like our Thanksgiving meals. And you notice this one over here, the turkey with the bacon on top? That's the way we do it in my family. You haven't tried that? You need to try that. That's really good. Now, between the meals, it sounds as if the pilgrims and the Indians, they played games, they had contests, and other entertainment. Well, Winslow, after praising God for how well their corn did, he wrote this. Of course, you notice the difference in the 17th century English. Our harvest being gotten in, our governor sent 4 men on fowling, so that we might after have a special manner rejoice together after we had gathered the fruit of our labors. They 4 in 1 day killed as much fowl as with a little help beside, served the company almost a week, at which time, amongst other recreations, we exercised our arms, meaning that they shot their guns, you know, probably speaking of target practice. Many of the Indians coming amongst us, and among the rest, their great king Massasoit, with some 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted. And they went out and killed 5 deer, which they brought to the plantation and bestowed on our governor and upon the captain and others. And although it be not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish you partakers of our plenty. Now, keep in mind that it was specifically celebrated to give thanks to God. Some think that it was based on the English Harvest Festival, but others think that it was based on the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles, or booths. And that may be partly where they got the idea. They were very familiar with the Old Testament. See, I've read that some of the early settlers called their Plymouth colony Little Israel. And they even compared Governor Bradford to Moses because, you see, they felt that they had fled lands of oppression and had found a new home, just as the Israelites had fled from Egypt and eventually settled in the Promised Land. Now, the Feast of Tabernacles, or also called the Feast of Ingathering, it celebrated the completion of the harvest, and the autumn harvest, and it was regarded as a general thanksgiving for the bounty of nature in the year that had passed. And during the festival, the Israelites, they would live in these tabernacles or huts made out of things like palm and willow branches to commemorate the period of wilderness wanderings when they had to live in temporary shelters. And I've read that samples from the harvest would be hung in each family's hut to acknowledge God's faithfulness in providing for his people. Now, that may or may not have had something to do with it. On Wednesday, Andy mentioned the peace offering, also called the thank offering, which has some similarities to Thanksgiving as well. Well, continuing with our history, our knowledge is somewhat incomplete, but in 1789, George Washington, he recommended that the nation celebrate Thanksgiving that year. Now, after some introductory statements, he wrote in part, "Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country." And then he recommended another one in 1795. Well, later in 1863, during the Civil War, President Lincoln, he proclaimed the last Thursday in November Thanksgiving Day, and he called it, quote, "a day of thanksgiving and praise to our benevolent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." And then after the war, Congress, they established Thanksgiving as a national holiday. Well, then in 1941, Franklin Roosevelt, he got Thanksgiving changed to the fourth Thursday instead of always the last, because sometimes there are five Thursdays in November, and there are different reasons for that. And of course, since 1947, the National Turkey Federation has presented the President of the United States with one live turkey and two dressed turkeys in the ceremony known as the National Thanksgiving Turkey Presentation. As you know, the live turkey is pardoned, and then it gets to live out its days doing whatever turkeys do on a nearby farm. Here's the thing. Sadly, for many American households today, the original religious significance has been lost. Because today, we often see it as a time to get together and argue with family, to overeat, to watch parades and football, to fall asleep in a recliner, and of course, get ready for the sales on Black Friday. That's quite a picture, isn't it? You may have seen this meme. Yo, Adrian, I got us a TV. Did any of you look like that after Black Friday? Well, hopefully we didn't forget what it's really about. See, it's really about thanking God. Thanking God for all that He has done for us, all that He has given to us. It's actually a wonderful holiday if you think about it. I mean, we look around at all the corruption in our nation and we recognize that there are so many people who they won't even acknowledge that God exists, many of them, much less give Him thanks. But you and I know better. And so we bowed our heads this last Thursday and we gave thanks for the bountiful spread before us as well as everything else. You see, we know who ultimately provides for us. We know that all the blessings that we receive can be traced back to the God who made us. And we know that life would be miserable, life would be hopeless without Him. And so I want to talk now about the giving of thanks. And we also know that this is not to be anything out of the ordinary. That we're to give thanks every day of our lives. And so that's why hopefully you will find Christians daily giving thanks for divine goodness. See, the giving of thanks is a very important concept in the Scriptures, both in the Old Testament and the New. God has always desired worshipers who are grateful and who thank Him for what He has done. Now, I want you to think about how you feel when somebody truly gives you a heartfelt thank you. Right? Now, I want you to think about how you feel when somebody forgets or refuses to thank you. I mean, even something as simple as letting someone in with 5 o'clock traffic, right? Well, some people wave to thank you and some do not. Man, I'm even happy when all they do is stick up a finger and thanks. Well, according to the Bible, ingratitude is very displeasing to God, and it makes sense. We all feel the same about somebody who's always asking for things or you're always doing things for, and they refuse to thank you. They act like you owe it to them. Like they're like a spoiled brat who feels entitled and just expects it. Luke chapter 17, Jesus replied, "We're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? In Romans 1:21, not giving thanks, that's one of the characteristics of those who knew God but whose foolish heart was darkened. 2 Timothy 3:2, ungrateful, and that's included among the other sins that would be prevalent in the difficult times of the last days. And of course, we can also look at the example of Jesus, the one into whose image we are to be conformed. In Matthew 15, Jesus, when He's fed the multitudes, it says, "And He directed the multitudes to sit down on the ground, and He took the 7 loaves and the fish, and giving thanks, He broke them and started giving them to the disciples." In John 11, when Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, it says, "So they took away the stone, and then Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, I thank You that You have heard Me.'" Mark chapter 14, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, it says, "While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to His disciples, saying, 'Take it, this is My body.' And He took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them." In Luke 24, when He was with the 2 disciples on the road to Emmaus, it says, "But they urged Him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And we can look at what the Apostle Paul had to say about it. We are clearly to be a people of thanksgiving. Now, I know it's a lot of verses, but I'm really trying to drive this point home. Ephesians 5:20, after speaking to them about singing and making melody and with their hearts to the Lord, he said, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." Philippians 4:6, he said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." In Colossians 2:6 and 7, we're told, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." In Colossians 4:2, he said, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, he said, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, not for everything, but in everything." As the NIV says, "in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I think I'm getting the picture. Now, it's pretty easy to be thankful when everything is coming up roses and you're at peace with the world. Right? But what about when it's difficult? What about in difficulties and trials and in sickness and in bereavement? So even though you may be going through the ringer, there are still things that you can be thankful for. Daniel, along with all the Israelites, he was in exile in Babylon. And yet, take a look here at what was said of his prayers in Daniel 6:10. He continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul, he's in prison in Rome. You'd expect the guy to be just complaining up a storm, and yet listen to what he said. "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." See, instead of complaining, he looked for the good and he was grateful for it. I remember a preacher recalling one of his friend's prayers as they both stood there watching his friend's business burn to the ground. And the man prayed, "Thank you, God, that no one was hurt in the fire. And thank you for all the years we were taken care of financially because of the success of this business that you allowed us to have." Now, there's an old song we sing, "When Upon Life's Billows," or "Count Your Blessings," depending on the book. "When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you were called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done." You know, it's been observed that it's really backwards to have only one day a year for thanksgiving and 364 for grumbling. You know, instead of just a day for thanksgiving, it's been said that we need a life of thanks living. And for the Christian, see, the blessings always outnumber and always outweigh the difficulties and the troubles. If nothing else, in every situation, every circumstance, we can thank God for his salvation in Jesus Christ. So may we never be like the lepers, the nine lepers who didn't return to thank Jesus. Let's try to make thanksgiving
a real part of our lives, and let's try to use it frequently, okay, in our prayers. There's something that my mother will do when she's teaching a little kid's Bible class. She will draw a line down the middle of a board, and then she'll ask for prayer requests. And one side is for asking, and the other side is for thanking, and she'll make sure that the sides are balanced. Well, I want to finish up by talking about the three tenses of thanksgiving. So I've heard it said there are three tenses of thanksgiving, and the first is thanksgiving for the past. In the midst of his discussion in Colossians chapter 1, Paul said, "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." God gave us free choice, and we've all abused that free choice by sinning and damaging our relationship with him. But God loved us anyway, and he sent his Son to come and to die for our sins, to take our punishment on the cross. And because of that, we are now able to have this new relationship with him in the kingdom of his beloved Son. So we need to thank God for what he has done in the past. Well, the second is thanksgiving for the present. So later in Colossians 3, 15 through 17, we find this. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." See, every day we need to be thanking God for the blessings of life and friends and family, both physical and spiritual, our continued relationship with God and the peace that brings us. As you talk about the peace of Christ. So we need to be thankful for what God is doing in the present. And third is thanksgiving for the future, that inheritance of the saints in light from Colossians 1:12, the reward of the inheritance mentioned in 3:24. So what's it going to be like? And we get a few glimpses in Revelation. Revelation 7, it says, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun beat down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne shall be their shepherd, and shall guide them to springs of the water of life, and God shall wipe every tear from their eyes." Revelation 21, we read, "And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." And so we need to be thanking God for what he is going to do in the future. He's a God of three tenses. "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." And so it's been rightly suggested that we thank God, we give thanks in all three tenses. You know, as George Washington put it, "the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be." And so let's keep that in mind every day, not just a day of thanksgiving, but again, a life of thanks living. Never forget Jesus' haunting question: where are the other nine?